We must count the cost to finish well in the last days. Another way to say this, we must align our expectations with what the Bible actually teaches church. Listen so carefully. We must align our expectations with what Jesus actually promises. Failure to do that, you will be sadly facing expectations that aren't in line and you'll be greatly disappointed.
Well, good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. My name is Craig, and I get to host this program, and joining me in our studio, as he often does, is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, last time we were together, we looked at what it means to follow Christ, to put our hands to the plow, and to not look back. In fact, No Turning Back is actually the title of this series that we are in, and we are learning that a biblical understanding of how to look ahead affects so much of how we understand the world around us. In other words, loved ones, listen, this is a hugely important series, and we're glad you're here. Now, Robbie, as I said, is here with me, and maybe, Robbie, you can tell our listeners a little bit more about where we're going today.
Sure. I think a good sentence to summarize today's message, and such an important one, is to align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches. Align your expectations for life what Jesus Christ has so clearly told us, and what Jesus went out of his way to say to his disciples and then to us who are following him is, listen, if you're going to do this, the road is going to be narrow, it's going to be hard, there's a cost that must be counted, because if you fail to count the cost, you will not be able to persevere, you will not make it, and indeed, you will turn back, as some will do, and have done. So this message, again, of counting the cost, very critical, Craig, in our day. We both know that, because again, it's not getting easier. We understand it is getting harder, but we also believe it's going to be so much better. And the expectation to what Christ will do through his church in the midst of difficulty is just going to be awesome and filled with so much joy. We believe that. We really believe that. But again, it will come at a cost now, but glory is soon to be revealed. So another vital, fundamental message from Jesus to his disciples to understand, hey, do you know what you signed up for? And Jesus says, let me tell you, let me be very clear. This is what you can expect ahead. But this prepares us then to persevere, to understand the path that's ahead of us, and to see ourselves, again, make it to the finish line. May the Lord use this in the lives of all the listeners today here at Live in the Light to encourage you, prepare you, and bless you. Man, that's our prayer. May it be so.
Amen. May it be so. And before we get to God's word and God's message for all of us today, just a reminder to you listeners, don't forget to reach out to us and let us know how Live in the Light has been encouraging you. We would love to hear from you. You can do that through our website or our phone number, and all of the details for all that stuff is at the end of our program today. Hey, with that being said, let's join up again with Pastor Robbie in Luke chapter 14 with today's message entitled, The Cost Must Be Counted.
You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. As I said in recent weeks too, please apply some godly, holy pressure on those around you to have a copy of God's word opened. And of course, our theme verse from Luke 9, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And on that note, and in that light too, we'll be seeing a passage here from Luke chapter 14, looking at verses 25 to 33. I know I just prayed. I just want to take a quick moment. Father, would you bless your word right now so powerfully? Holy Spirit of God, teach. Oh, communicate, encourage, and strengthen. I need you so much, so weak, so needy, so aware of we need the teacher to teach, the encourager to encourage, the comforter to comfort. Bless this time now. Every heart listening, every mind renewed, I pray, oh, bring supernatural encouragement to feed your people with living water only from Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. We're in the seventh week in our series, No turning back. 10 essential life lessons from Jesus for the last days. The question we are both asking and answering during this series is this: what kind of person will not turn back? Who is the person who perseveres as the cost intensifies? I mean, that's such an important question. Who is the person that's going to persevere as the cost intensifies? That's a massive question. That's a major item of like, I want to know the answer to that. And that's what we are answering from Jesus by his word. Who's the person that's fit for the kingdom of God? Who's the person that's going to fail or falter as opposed to who's the person that's going to persevere and make it? Those are, again, massive questions. And we should be sitting up a little straighter because we want to know the answer. Who is the person fit for the kingdom of God? Let me just recap where we've been again in the last several weeks. These are such important lessons. We are wise to try to remember. It's neat having you there. That's awesome. Someone sitting in the front row. Yay! That's awesome. Anyways, lesson number one, it is Christ-like character that will be truly blessed. That was week number one. Character counts massively, again, always, and especially now. Lesson number two, if you don't feed on God's word, you're starving. You're done. It's over. You must be sustained. Man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Lesson number three, true biblical greatness. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It's the path of the servant or the slave that will experience true greatness in Christ. What a massive lesson for our day. Lesson number four, I must be ready for his return. Still love that theme and that message. We got to be living in light of the return of Christ can happen at any moment because it can. God help us be ready. Lesson number five, if we're going to make it in the end, we must love our enemies because enemy love is going to be necessary more and more as time goes on. We have to be prepared in the powerful sense of loving those who persecute us again in the days ahead. Lesson number six, we are dead without prayer. I mean, it's just as simple as that. If we fail to pray, we're going to fail. We have to pray and be people and a church and a house of prayer. Without prayer, no chance. Lesson number seven, that's today. The cost must be counted. This is so key as we're going to see today because those who fail to count the cost, their expectations are going to be misaligned. They're not going to make it to being disappointed. If you don't count the cost, if you don't know what you're signing up for, again, you will not make it in the last days. And that's where we are today. The cost must be counted. Luke 14, take a look at verse 25. And just before we read that, I want to encourage you, take these lessons, write them down. Like, find a way to not move on from them. They are not to be, oh, that's nice. And then what's next? These are the lessons the Lord Jesus Christ blesses, again, now as much as ever. Luke 14, verse 25. Says this, now great crowds accompanied Jesus, him, and Jesus turned and said to them. Stop right there for a second. Notice first that great crowds accompanied Jesus. Now, for any Bible teacher, this would be a great sign, wouldn't it? Big following, lots of momentum, great opportunity, right? Well, in the case of Jesus, sort of. There was opportunity for sure, but not the one we might expect. I just want you to see what Jesus does as the crowds close in. The text says in verse 25, he turned and he said to them, look at verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. This is the first of three times he will say this in our brief passage. He cannot be my disciple. Wow. So live in the text here, okay? Live in the text. You're one of the 12 disciples. You see the crowds. It's exciting. There's like massive momentum. There's a buzz. People are talking. Imagine the commotion. You're kind of turning and saying to yourselves, man, this is amazing. Look, we're on the inside and look at all the things that are happening and all the excitement. And again, all the buzz surrounding Jesus. The crowds are forming. They're all eager. And then Jesus then says this first line. Whoever does not hate everyone, basically, all those dear to him or her, and even his own life cannot be my disciples. Now, when you're one of the 12, what are you thinking when Jesus says verse 26? What kind of face are you making? Kind of looking around and just saying like, is this really happening? It's interesting to me that often when the crowds got their biggest, Jesus brought his hardest. Now let's be clear. This little sermon here by Jesus would not grow the church, so to speak. Neither will this message here today. Let's also be clear though, his message would strengthen the church greatly. And so will this message today. Jesus now turns and said to the great crowds following, accompanying him, and he brings a message of cost. He brings a message of suffering. He brings a message of death to self. Why? Because Jesus wasn't into spiritual hype. He was into spiritual health. That's such an important phrase. Let's bring that up again. I want you to see that. Because Jesus wasn't into spiritual hype. Jesus was very much into spiritual health. Can you take that truth and apply it to your life? I don't know, in the last week, month, year, let's say. Can you see how Jesus is more concerned with spiritual health than hype, that he might forego the things that we often get excited about because he's more concerned of the heart that follows him with authenticity and purity? I think this is one of the potential blessings of the past year or so. At least here in this area of this land, Jesus is purifying his bride to prepare her. Have you felt that? I have. Have you seen that? I have. Again, have you felt that? I have. And one of the best ways that the bride is prepared is by understanding the cost of following Christ. We must count the cost to finish well in the last days. Another way to say this, we must align our expectations with what the Bible actually teaches, church. Listen so carefully. We must align our expectations with what Jesus actually promises. Failure to do that, you will be sadly, again, facing expectations that aren't in line and you'll be greatly disappointed. So let's begin. If I'm to finish well in the last days, then from this text in our passage today, which we obviously will go through, number one is this, I must understand there will be a cost to self. If I'm going to finish well, I must understand that Jesus promises there will be a cost to self. Again, verse 26, this verse should be underlined, by the way, and other things associated with it. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, it's important here again to understand that when Jesus uses the word hate, this is a Semitic expression that means to love less. As if Jesus would command us to love our neighbor, honor our father and mother, love our spouses, and even to love our enemies, and then turn around and tell us to hate them in favor of him. Of course, he would never do that. Jesus would never contradict his own teaching. So the point, rather, Jesus is making, and he's doing it with some shock here, is that Jesus demands our highest and greatest love. What Jesus is saying here in verse 26 is any relationship that we love more than Jesus Christ, based on who Jesus is, what he has done, and the treasure he is to be to us as the very Son of God who died and rose again, defeating death, that we might live forever. Any relationship that we love more than Christ does not make sense to the true disciple. That's what he's saying. If we are to love any, again, mother, father, brother, sister, friend, whatever it is, If we're to love anyone else more than Jesus Christ, and we claim to be disciples of Christ, something is off there. Jesus is also teaching here that to follow Christ will come at a cost to relationships at times. Jesus' teaching is, many of you have personally experienced. You have experienced rejection from family members because of your love for Christ. Some of you right now are opposed by your very spouse because of your love for Jesus Christ. Some of you have been rejected by friends and coworkers in recent days or years because of your affection and love and commitment to Jesus Christ. That's also what Jesus is talking about right here. The call to love Christ more than anyone else, because in the end, only Jesus Christ grants everlasting life. But that comes at a cost to self, doesn't it? There's massive gain, but it does come at a cost. And this is what Jesus is seeking to teach. But you see, the more that you can see Jesus Christ as preeminent, the more that you can see Jesus Christ as perfection, the more that you can see Jesus Christ as God himself, and the greatest gift ever, then the more you see he is worth it all. There's nothing he's not capable of. His beauty is absolutely astounding. His worth, you cannot even begin to ultimately calculate. And the person saved in Jesus Christ understands that what can they honestly compare with the glory and treasure found in Jesus Christ? See, when this takes root and the gospel begins to be lived in our hearts, for those who see Jesus clearly, they can sing with authenticity, "You can have the world, just give me Jesus." You can have the world, man. You can have it all. Because compared to Jesus, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, as we sang today as well. But notice, Jesus is so serious about this. He says in verse 26, at the end, look at, he says, yes, even those who hate his own life. You must hate your own life or you cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. Let's be crystal clear here. The person who is unwilling to love themselves less than Jesus cannot be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Again, crystal clear here. To truly follow Christ in the last days will come at a cost to self, and in this regard, a cost to the love of self, 100%, no exceptions. You enter in, you understand, you sign up to follow Christ, and this means death to self and life in Christ. Now, what a time for this verse to reach our ears in the days that we live. See, why would you say that, Robbie? Well, because it's the rise of the modern self. It's the rise of the modern self, which is currently ruling our society. As society has continually sought to eliminate the worship of God, we have replaced it emphatically and idolatrously with the worship of self. Rather than loving ourselves less, as Jesus here commands, we have never loved ourselves more as a society. Everything we're being fed, every sector of society, education, government, and workplace is centered massively and deceivingly on the love of self. So again, think about this for a second. This is very, very important in the days that we live. Rather than our identity being determined by God as being made in his image, imago Dei, now what we have done, we have rejected God, and now we are self-determining, and the love of self is reigning so emphatically and powerfully. The love of self now, the love of self has become the process of determining morality, identity, and even the laws of our land. The love of self is ruling our society. Surrounding us every day is the overfeeding and the obsession of personal rights, personal entitlement, and a huge worship of self-autonomy, all rooted in self-sinful love. Andrew T. Walker, he said this, speaking of the critically acclaimed book by Carl Truman on the rise and triumph of the modern self. This is wordy. I want to go through this slow. I want you to see if you can get this here. He says this. He says, Truman explains how modern day formulations of identity, which he calls the self, have yielded a paradigm of personhood that is often weaponized for psychological, sexual, and therapeutic triumph. Okay, so modern day formulations of identity, which is the love of self, has yielded a paradigm of personhood that has now been weaponized for psychological, sexual, and therapeutic triumph over anything and everyone else. So any claim then, this is where we live. This is very, very astute. Any claim then that would threaten one's self-chosen sense of self-conception, let's say like the Bible and Jesus Christ and objective truth and absolute truth, any claim such as that against self-conception, sexual freedom, and therapeutic needs is not only improper, but now is close to possibly becoming criminal if it isn't already. Think, pause, look, digest. Let me give you a second. Very, very important wisdom of our day, of where we live. Notice, and it's all rooted obsessively in the love of self. The love of self so much to the point there is now no more God. We are now elevated as God, and we decide precisely and exactly who we are, what we think, based on what we feel is best for us out of love for ourselves. It's such a critical time for the wisdom of God, isn't it? It's such a critical time to renew our minds in what? In where true blessing lives. Where true blessing lives. See, the last thing Jesus teaches is the rise and love of self. The last thing Jesus teaches. In fact, Jesus fundamentally teaches the death of self. He's completely opposite to everything we just heard that the world is obsessed with. Why does Jesus do this? Because Jesus knows when we die to self, we live for Christ. And when we live for Christ, we live in love and joy and peace and freedom and blessing and true prosperity of joy of the soul. You must die to live is the essence of the gospel. When we live for Christ, it's here that we actually start to live. The power to overcome our sin, the releasing of joy. And again, inherent and the essence of the gospel is the crucifixion leads to resurrection. We must be crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Again, the essence of the gospel is we die to live. John 12, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. If it doesn't die, it remains alone. But if it dies again, it will bear much fruit. You must die to live. And it comes at a cost to self with the promise of incredible joy. There's just a few chapters from where we are in Luke 14, Luke 17. I want to put these on the screen for you here. I want to see this too. Luke 17, look how similar this is right here. Look what Jesus says. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't that such an interesting three words? What's up with Lot's wife? Lot's wife was taken out of Sodom, but Sodom wasn't taken out of Lot's wife. She turned back and she paid with her life. She longed and loved the world more than her God. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. How many in the soils that Jesus teaches in and the different soils and the weeds come up and the thorny soil and the persecution or the, again, the pleasures of the world, they distract, they discourage, they remove people from following Jesus Christ. They don't make it. Remember Lot's wife. Who's that for today? I mean, look at his lesson from this phrase, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever seeks to love themselves will lose. Whoever seeks to idolatrously love themselves, they will die. Whoever seeks to live at all in self-autonomy, you will perish. But whoever loses his life, whoever dies to self, whoever chooses to count all things as loss, they will keep it. They will save themselves. they will find the love of Jesus Christ. And you know how many times Jesus teaches this truth? Because it's such a big deal. Lot's wife, she longed for the world and she died. But to lose your life is to find true life. Loved ones, if we're gonna make it in the last days, it has to come at a cost of self. The cost of self, but the gain is Christ. How massive that is for last days, isn't it? How massive it is for right now. I become less, Jesus Christ becomes more. You know who got this of all people? Napoleon. Napoleon understood this. Let me read you this quote just as we move on to our next point. Napoleon said this. He says, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there's no possible term of comparison. Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Look what he says here. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. In this hour, millions of men and women would die for him. Why? I mean, he understood this, right? Because again, when you've been given the greatest treasure in the history of the universe, there's nothing else you need. And you will die for that in a heartbeat. You joyfully live at a cost because you've already been given everything. That's the gospel. That's what it means to follow Christ. This is what Jesus is speaking of in verse 26. Number two is this. We must count the cost of suffering. This is a very powerful lead into this. Look at verse 27 now. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, notice again, cannot be my disciple. Notice how clear Jesus is? I mean, people sometimes suggest he's not. Look at how clear he is. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not exactly easy believism here, is it, from Jesus? Not exactly. The moment the disciples hear the word cross, they think death. Whoever does not bear his own cross, no, his own cross. Everyone knew Jesus meant here. To carry a cross was a one-way journey. The Roman instrument of horrible death and crucifixion. A cross was an instrument of humiliation, of torture, of loneliness, and death. Whoever does not bear his own cross. You know, Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, and the early church would find out fast what he meant. Then there's us within our historical Christian society. We have experienced incredible blessing and peace and freedom in the 150 plus years in the history of our nation. It's been remarkable, hasn't it? But we know that's changing. We also know it's not that way for so many across the world who confess Jesus Christ. Millions of Christians today live under the threat of death today. Every single day, Christians are being murdered for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ministry Open Doors explains that in countries like North Korea, India, Afghanistan, Iran, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, and Yemen, a dozen Christians die every single day for their love for Christ. Simply because they love Jesus Christ, they are put to death.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.